oneself. It's bad to lose. Losing one is very bad. If you do, you can never get it back. They have no replacement. They are priceless. No exchange is a fair trade. To get even. Therefore does not equal the moral. It is not that it misrepresents it. It does not misrepresent the moral. It lacks one. Just figuring it out and making it plain. The moral exists in virtue of our identification.
Lie in the ice chairs, wet with no heads. In the fireplace too, five more headless matches. Two in the sink, but with heads.
The sounds right there from the Red Crayola, from a 1994 single here on the Anti-Static Podcast. That's a song entitled Stink Program. Perhaps self-referential to this podcast. Perhaps not. 1994, Drag City Records. Right around the time that the Red Crayola definitely started creeping back into the consciousness, or creeping into the consciousness of an entirely new generation, you might say. Great. Behind that, music from Arcwelder from a Touch and Go Records 45. That was a song called Captain Allen. Arcwelder have a number of, I think they were from one of the Twin Cities. I don't remember which one. But they have a number of records to their name. The best one I always thought was called Xerxes, named after the Persian king. And it does spell Sex Rex backwards, in case you're the sort of person who is interested in those things. I don't know why I remember that. But that's sort of their best record. And I remember, I think it was around the time that that was released, that I went to see them. They played at Maxwell's in Hoboken. And there was nobody there. I mean, they weren't that popular a band. They were kind of like a, I don't know. I guess they weren't as popular as some of the other bands on Touch and Go at the time. But anyway, my girlfriend and I went to see Arcwelder at Maxwell's on like a Tuesday night, and there was literally nobody there except us and like the sound man. And the band was, we talked to them because, you know, it would have been awkward not to. And they were super nice, but I could tell they were just so angry. They were so pissed off that nobody was there to see them that they just channeled all of that aggression into their performance. And it was one of the best shows I've ever been to. And it is awkward. And there was a great expectation placed on us as the only audience members to sort of cheer wildly at the conclusion of each and every song. But, you know, as they say in certain parts of our dying world, good times. Often accompanied by a thumbs up. This is the Anti-Static Podcast. My name is Mike LaPica, and I'm here with you every 2 weeks to rip out, to just whip them out like the big guns. Whip out some old 45s from the 1990s, independently released, because that was the good kind. All the other ones were sucky. And if you got any questions or comments about the program, of which there are now many, many years of years of archives worth available on WFMU's website, you can hit me up anytime via email. mike@wfmu.org is the email address. Check out the quasi-companion blog to this program at hiptran.typepad.com. And moving on, blindly, ever onward, let's go check out a 1991 single by Venom P. Stinger, released by the Great Aberrant record label out of Australia. And Venom P. Stinger, you know, actually, this material may be even older, because the story, the deal with Venom P. Stinger is that they're the band that the Dirty Three sort of morphed into. I think at least one or two of the same members, if not all three of them. And they're sort of a lot more abrasive. And in some cases, they're like a lot noisier than the Dirty Three. And in other cases, it's like straight up, like fast, kill yourself punk rock. And if I remember correctly, that's sort of one of the songs that we have queued up by this fine band. So let's check it out here on the Anti-Static Podcast. This is Venom P. Stinger doing a song called 26 Milligrams, 1991, Aberrant Records. Thank you very much. We'll see you next time. Ciao.